JB Design, a forum for entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those aspiring to entrepreneurship, sharing resources and information to start or jumpstart your business. It's our business to help your business. Brought to you by AXA Management Capabilities, a consulting firm helping businesses move from capability to actuality since 2006. Every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m., a great way to kick off your evening drive. Here's your host, knowledge broker and business developer, Andrea John Baptiste.
Hello, 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 South Florida. How are you? Hello, London. Hello, Haiti. Hello, UK. Hello, hello, hello. Greetings to everybody on this Thankful Tuesday. You are tuned in to the JB Biz Live. And if you didn't know, now you know, you are listening to the W Big Station. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all our listeners. We just want to say thank you for tuning in again. It is Tuesday. It is Earth Day. We've got a lot to share. We've got a lot going on, and we're really excited. Remember, each week we bring you subject matter experts to help enhance your existing business or to provide you with strategies to help you to effectively start a business. We want to inspire confidence in your God-given gifts and talents. Show you how to turn those gifts into profits the right way. Talk with you, not at you. So a little later in the show, we will open up the biz line so we can hear from you. Remember, the JB Biz Line is brought to you by Axum Management Capabilities. That's where I work, a business development and consulting firm where we help individuals and organizations move from capability to actuality. We are so excited to have you here with us on 95.9, the W Big Station. Remember, you can listen live by phone at 857-232-0095. See our smiling faces at Ustream, channel, W Big Station, or on WBigStation.net. As always, we live tweet throughout the show, so follow us at Axum Tweets, and we follow back, y'all, so don't forget. We will welcome your questions a little bit later on at 954-707-6922. Chanel is here, so she is tweeting live as we move forward, and we're just excited. So hello, Twitter, everyone in our Twitter sphere, and all of you who are twatching. Yeah, I'm learning all the Twitter terms as from the kids, of course. You know, every week we share with you our guiding quote, or one of our guiding quotes. And so, remember, Napoleon Hill said, "Man alone has the power to transform his thoughts into physical reality. Man alone can dream and make his dreams come true." And that's from our friend Napoleon Hill. And I read a lot of his books, and it's just, he's just an amazing author and inspirational person. So again, follow your dreams. I have a special invitation for all the ladies. Spread your wings and fly away. Ladies, take a break from the norm and join us for a night of inspiration, empowerment, networking, connecting, entertainment, and good, clean, you heard me, clean ladies, good, clean fun. This Saturday, April 26th from 5 to 8 at the Blue Bar and Bistro at 113 South 20th Avenue in Hollywood. You can register at womeninspiringwomentogreatness.com. And it's going to be hosted by one of our favorite guests, Karen Bryce. She was here talking to us about creating a millionaire mind. She is that authentic self coach, and she has a special invitation for all of the female listeners for the JB Biz Line. Tell her when you call her at 954-305-9933 that you heard it on the JB Biz Line. Last week, we talked about the good old money, the dollar, the dinero, the peso, right? We all want trillions and billions of that. We talked about financing your business. We had I just love the name of this guest. We had Amos Make Me Famous, the financial expert, with us last Tuesday. His name makes me chuckle, and his personality is so great as well. We talked about having the right plan for your service and products, how to turn them into commodities, desired commodities, things that people really want. We talked about seeking investors by being able to show positive rates of return. We talked about traditional and non-traditional investments as well as loan, such as angel investments and things of that nature, things to keep your business afloat or to grow your business. And again, that was Amos Make Me Famous, our financial expert. Amos likes to be reached via social media. He doesn't even want to give out his phone number. But you can certainly reach him at 954-742-9166. Like I said earlier, it is Thankful Tuesday, and it is Earth Day. Reduce, reuse, recycle. This is the 44th annual Earth Day, 44 years strong. And the theme for this year is green cities. So for those of you legislators who are listening, elected officials, don't forget to make your cities green, sustainable. Eco is like I like to say. Economically sound as well as ecologically sound. So as we celebrate this 44th annual Earth Day, I want to say stay green, my friends. That's in my Dos Equis voice, right? Stay green, my friends. So, you know, stay thirsty. Okay, you got it, right. Today, we're going to talk about something that I think we all need to have a conversation or self-check about from time to time. I know that in the last seven, almost 8 years of business, I've had to really do some digging down into the bottom of myself and my soul to pull up the big P, perseverance. We're going to talk about how to stay in business for the long haul. The Bible, James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. So when you're under pressure, staying steadfast. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So we go through the test to receive the crown because God has promised that to us. So before we open and we talk about perseverance, entrepreneurship is our topic today, and it's really entrepreneurship and staying the course. But before we talk about that and I introduce our guest, and I'm really excited about having her here today, we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for allowing us another day. Thank you for bringing us all out, whether we're at home or in the car or on the job, Father God. But we are alive and it is well with our soul because we worship you. And we thank you for all that you've provided for us, Father God. And for those who need a little comfort and nourishment and nurturing and a sign of encouragement, I pray, Father, that you show up and show out on this day in their lives. Father, I thank you for allowing this opportunity for us to talk about perseverance, to talk about business development and business growth. And as we move forward with the rest of this show, Lord, I ask that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. And everybody listening said, amen. All right. So entrepreneurship is not always an easy road, right? Adam Horowitz, some of you know him. I know one of my daughters is at home screaming right now. She said, Adam Horowitz, yay! He's a screenwriter. He's written things like Once Upon a Time, One Tree Hill, Felicity. He says, the problem of entrepreneurship is that you fail 10 times for every success. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of those challenges. I don't like to say them as failures, but challenges or lessons, because with these challenges or problems or failures, we should always have that lesson that we're taking away from them. So he says, Adam Horowitz says, the problem of entrepreneurship is that you fail 10 times for every one success. And one of the things that I also read, and I keep this somewhere in the office, and I find it every from time to time, but it says, and it's always at the right time, a smooth sea never made a skillful sailor. So if you have just, you can just coast through it, guess what? You're not going to have a chance to develop your skills, to increase your knowledge, to expand, to grow, and so on. So we're thankful. It's Thankful Tuesday. We are thankful for even those bumpy, rocky roads and rocky seas. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing well, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." I like to, as you all know, pudge around on social media. And on April 1st, Google for Entrepreneurs Hangout, so we talked about Google Plus and we talked about social media. We talked about using Hangouts as your groups to bring people together in virtual meetings or just virtual hangouts, as they say. If you want to do business or you want to play, you want to pray, you want to have a party. But Google Plus has that opportunity. And on April 1st, the topic of one of the Google for Entrepreneurs Hangouts was how to thrive and create joy at work. Ariana Huffington from the Huffington Post, as well as Rich Sheridan, and you guys may know him as the mega software developer from Menlo Innovations. They were sharing their experiences with the moderator, Guy Kawasaki. Now, y'all know that name, right? From Apple, amongst other things. And they were answering questions from entrepreneurs from the Branson Centers, from Virgin Startup, and Virgin Media Pioneers. And I want to say hello to the folks at the Branson Center in Jamaica. Hey, Dominic, how are you? Hello, friends, because we've got some friends over there at the Branson Center in Jamaica. But these guys were a part of this Google for Entrepreneurs Hangout, and they talked about the power of meditation, of sleep, the importance of making mistakes, while why employees' well-being is good for the bottom line, how stories, the stories that we tell about our business, the stories that we tell about work, how they built your corporate culture, how they managed fear. And I think it's really cool to hear that folks like Ariana Huffington of the Huffington Post and Rich Sheridan, et cetera, they were talking about fear. They were talking about needing sleep and rest, because I know some entrepreneurs, I hear them say things like, "I never sleep." Well, you know what? You're going to crash. You're probably going to end up with some renal issues. Did you know lack of sleep can affect your kidneys? Yeah. So, but they also talked about the business value of joy. So how do we create joy in our business? And I wanted to share that with you, because I think part of what I read was that was so exciting to me, was that they believed in the shared power of business beyond the four walls of the workplace. So business, as you can see, these people were from all over the country doing all kinds of different things, but they really felt that outside of that office space, there was this huge power of entrepreneurship. They had a very strong sense of hope and passion for positive change that entrepreneurs can create for people and for planet. And I'm going to say this, it's interesting that they mentioned planet when on today, and I'm reading this to you today, when it is Earth Day. But they really felt that entrepreneurship was the answer to a lot of our social issues, a lot of our economic issues, a lot of our political issues, a lot of our environmental issues. And so, as you know, our goal here at the JB Bizline is always to help you to grow your business. Or if you've got that hankering in your spirit and you know you've been thinking about this for years, you may have scrawled the business plan on a napkin or on a paper towel, but to really encourage you to step out on faith, because it can be done. And our guest today is someone who has been sailing the sea of entrepreneurship for over 30 years. And I'm going to tell you, she was connected to, we were connected by our great connecting friend, Stephanie. Hello, Mimosa Girl. How are you? Our great friend, Stephanie. And we started talking. Stephanie said, "You know, I don't know how or what you guys want to talk about, but I think she would be a great guest for your show," et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, you know, I went in with thinking, well, she does marketing, so I'm probably going to have her on the show to talk about marketing. And she shared her experience experiences and her breadth of knowledge and her wonderfully just enthusiastic and kind spirit came across the phone, I thought, you know what? This is someone that can talk to us about staying the course. And so with me today, we have Danette Gossett, who is the president and CEO of Gossett Marketing Communications, Inc., and co-founder of Promotions Resource, LLC. Like I said before, Danette brings more than 30 years of experience. Now, let me just stop for a minute, because I'm not sure how she can bring 30 years of experience to us when she looks like she's about 25. So she probably started when she was 2. But she does bring with her more than 30 years of experience developing advertising campaigns, direct marketing programs, sales, promotion, and collateral. Gossett Marketing is a certified women-owned enterprise. Danette has won a number. I only listed like the most recent 2 here. I'm going to tell you about them, but the list was exhaustive. I want to be like her when I grow up. Danette has won a number of industry awards and recognitions. Most recently, she received a 2014 EXPE Award from the National Association of Experts, Writers, and Speakers for Media and Communications Excellence. And she has also been one of the top 100 minority business of Miami, top 100 minority businesses of Miami-Dade County by the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce. So the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce said that, you know what, she's in that top. Gossett Marketing is in that top 100 minority businesses of Miami. So I'm really excited to have Danette here, and I know that we are going to get into some of the nitty-gritty for staying the course, because it's really critical that we understand perseverance and character and creativity as well for what we need to do in terms of staying in business, growing and expanding our business, and being able to have a portfolio similar to Danette's that says we've been here for over 30 years. Welcome, Danette Gossett, and thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we are really excited, and so we are just going to jump in feet first. Danette, why did you become an entrepreneur?
Well, I come from an entrepreneurial background. My parents, between the two of them, probably had, when they retired, I think they had 4 businesses between the two of them. And I, even though when I started my business, my mother was like, "Didn't you learn anything from us?" I felt that the freedom and the independence that you get from having your own business really appealed to me. And I had worked for several, quite a number of large corporations during my career, and made a lot of money for them. And I thought, okay, I can make money that way for myself. Why not? But one of my cousins actually said that most of us Gossetts have their own business because we don't like anyone telling us what to do.
All right.
That might be true, too.
Well, you know, my main name is McDowell. So hello, McDowells in Jamaica, in the UK, in New York, wherever you are. There are lots of them. And I, too, come from the background of entrepreneurship. And I know that my dad is always like, you know, I cannot deal with the isms and schisms of what goes on, meaning the office politics and everything else. And so you create your own culture. And I think that's critical. So you didn't learn anything from your parents, but you learned a lot, it seems like.
I learned a lot from my parents. I learned how to stay the course,
yes,
as you say.
Wonderful. So now, what do you think, because I know I read things all over the place in terms of entrepreneurship, what do you think are 3 personality traits of an entrepreneur?
Well, I think one has to be discipline. If you're not disciplined, you're not going to make it as an entrepreneur. I think optimism is key, because you are pulling from within on a regular basis to say, I can do this and I will do this. And then you talked about it earlier about fear. You have to have the willingness to face fear and not let it hold you back. Even when you don't know, you got to walk through that fear, because the freedom is on the other side.
Do it afraid, as they say.
Exactly. Do it afraid.
You know, it's interesting that you said optimism, discipline, and the ability to push through your fear. Because I was reading an article in Entrepreneur Magazine in January of this year, and they said that the 7 traits of a successful entrepreneur are tenacity, passion, which is, I equate that to optimism as well, vision, tolerance of ambiguity, which I thought I had to read through that really because I'm like, okay. But really, being knowing, not knowing what the next day may bring, the next hour sometimes in business may bring, particularly in a startup, but still pushing through. Self-belief, which you talked about, pulling from within with that optimism, as well as flexibility. Rule breaking, and I think that's how we started it off. Like, you know what, us gossips, as you said, we don't like anybody telling us what to do. And I said, you know, us McDowells, we definitely don't like it either. And so, yes, I think your summation of those characteristics are great because optimism, discipline, fair, it all ties into what the big experts are saying are the traits of successful entrepreneurs. Now, we get calls in our office all the time, Jeanette, for people considering they're looking to start a business or they've had maybe a job on the side and they're looking to take, you know, to grow it and to make it maybe their full time, I like to say, turning their side hustle into their real business. What words of encouragement would you share with someone who's considering entrepreneurship?
Do it. I mean, if you've got that vision and you've got that fire, stop letting it be your hobby. I was at the Top Minority Awards last week or 2 weeks ago for the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce, and I was sitting next to a young woman that was doing exactly that. She had, with a couple other ladies, a side business, and she really wanted to go out on her own, you know, with them for this, but she couldn't. She was afraid to leave her paycheck behind, and that is a big fear that people have. But if you have that vision and you have the passion to take it forward, it's exhilarating to be out on your own and to know that your destiny is your own. It's a little frightening as well, but I think it's more exhilarating than not. And I think that you're never going to achieve that dream that you have if you give it just half of your attention. You have to give it your full attention. And you're never going to take it to that next level if you don't start giving it your full attention. So, you know, you've got to plan for it, obviously, because one of the things, I guess, famous Amos with his financial planning, what probably talked about last week was, you know, you have to plan for your destiny sometimes, and you can't just quit your job if you have no savings. So you have to plan for those months or weeks or years that you're not making a lot of money.
Right. And that's true. We did talk about planning, and I'm here beaming because the first things that came out of your mouth was just do it. And I'm going to tell you, everyone that comes here that we ask, what do you think about entrepreneurship? They all say, go for it. And so and of course, yes, plan and so on. However, creating your own destiny and a legacy. We talk about that all the time, about leaving a legacy for your children, for your family, for your pets if you want to, you know, but leaving something behind that you have created. Now, you told us just do it, create your destiny, give it your full attention. And, you know, as an aside, I want to say that we get calls all the time from people. They have their side job or their side hustle, as you want to call it, and they're doing their thing. And I always say when I get off the phone that, you know, oftentimes I find that these folks, they have such a great idea. Perhaps it's a fabulous product, a fabulous service. But one of the things that I know that's not going to allow that business to grow, to maximize its fullest potential, is because it is a side business.
Exactly.
It is their side business. And the quote, there's a quote that says, make money for yourself or build your own destiny, something to that effect, or someone will hire you to build theirs. And so I always think about that. You know what? This person has this great business or great business idea, but they're making money for someone else where they're not nursing or nourishing what they have here. So as we talk about that now, back to the point, forgive me, I went off on a stray just
That's
because,
okay.
You know what? Sometimes I just got to get that out because of the calls over the last 8 years for business development. What we hear, my dad always says to me, you need to write a book, you know, and I think I will. But you just said, just do it, okay, for someone who's contemplating entrepreneurship. You also said, plan for it. Are there any words of caution that you would provide someone who is contemplating entrepreneurship?
Yes. Going back to the money, because I think most businesses fail because people are not prepared for the lack of consistent income. They get scared. They don't know what to do when they have a bill that's coming in and they don't have the money for it. Or they're not willing to do whatever it takes to make sure their bills are paid. So say they have taken that leap, they've started their own business. I did this. I started my own business, and after about 6 months, yes, I got a couple of clients, but I had big long-term projects, and so I wasn't getting paid a lot yet. It was on the horizon, but I had some bills to pay. So at the time, it was the Sony Open. I became a cocktail waitress for 12 days for the Sony Open, and I made enough to pay my rent. So that I did whatever it took. I used to do bartending for festivals because it was on the weekends. I didn't have to worry about missing my work days, but I could make sure I had that extra money that I needed to make. So, you know, yes, I had some money put aside, but you know, I wanted to supplement that. I wanted to make sure that I always had 3-4 months out so that I didn't have to worry about all of a sudden closing shop. And so I did what I had to do, and a lot of people are afraid to do that. They don't want to get out there and do something else, or they take the leap without planning ahead of time and putting 6 months to a year's worth of their essential expenses away.
Right. Good point. And so your venture, your business, became your full-time gig, but then you developed a side hustle
for a short period of time to supplement it
because that's a part of staying the course.
Absolutely.
That is what you do to get your bills paid in the immediate so that you have that revenue. As you said, things were on the horizon, but they weren't there yet. So you could see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you needed to get through that tunnel.
Exactly.
That's a great story. And I'm going to tell you because, yes, we've got to do what we've got to do. I think I was trying to find it today as I was prepping for the show. It was something about, it was on Facebook. Can't remember who posted it, but whoever you are, thank you, friend. Something about, you know, the life of an entrepreneur, broken pockets, empty cabinets, penny jars, something of that nature until you make it big. And that's the reality. You juggle because if this is what you want to do, you're going to make it happen. And so in that, as we're talking about, it's not an easy road. And sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And I'm going to play a little something for my boy and yours, Buju Banton. It is not an easy road sometimes with entrepreneurship, and who feels it knows, as my brother Buju has to say there. And it's true. And today you are tuned into the JB Bizline at WBIG Station 95.9. We are here with Danette Gossett, the woman who started her business 30 years ago when she was 2 years old. And we're just talking about staying the course and persevering to the end. If entrepreneurship is what you want to do, if it is what you're doing and you're seeing maybe some hard times, you know, there are things that you can do. Danette just shared with us about how she took a part-time job. She had her business, but she had some immediate expenses that needed to be taken care of. And from time to time, she took a little, she created a quote-unquote side hustle to ensure that she meets her bills. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Perseverance. Steadfast. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And again, that's James 1, 2 through 4. Because it's important that if we are going to create that Fortune 500, they didn't none of them popped up overnight. They were all years in the making, in the building. Many of those entrepreneurs will tell you, you know, about eating ramen noodles for dinner for several years. And so it's critical that we stay the course. Last week, we talked about financial strategies for business, and it was interesting to hear some of the creative things that Amos Make Me Famous shared with us. And Danette, as we were talking before the show, you shared with me some creative ways that you kept your business afloat. Tell our listeners.
Well, one, of course, as I just said, you know, I did go out and in the very early years and do bartending for festivals and things like that, because I could do it on one-off type things. And by the way, I've been in business 23 years. I've been in general business for well over 30 years.
See?
So it's just,
so
I've
she
had
started
my
at
business,
seven.
I've had my business since, for 23 years. But started my business 23 years ago. But, you know, I went through 9/11. I was the director of marketing for Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, and before that, the national ad director for Avis Rent-A-Car. So my corporate experience was very travel related. So all my early clients came from the travel industry. And when 9/11 hit, unfortunately, I lost 80% of my business overnight.
Wow.
And it was scary because my accountant had actually pointed it out just a few months before. Said, Danette, you're very concentrated in travel and tourism. I'm like, yeah, but what could happen?
Who knew? The handwriting on the wall.
The handwriting on the wall. So for the first thing, of course, is, depending on your business, diversify. Make sure that you have a large portfolio of diversified customers, clients, prospects, so that if something happens, it doesn't pull the rug out from under you right away. You know, it took a lot for me to come back from that. One, I kept on staff too long. I had a great team, and I thought, oh my God, this is going to come back, you know, right away. Obviously, it didn't. And instead of paying me, I paid my employees. I felt, you know, I was their livelihood. I wasn't going. I let four people go, but I kept four more on much longer than I should have. And I put myself into financial difficulties because I started paying my mortgage and such on a credit card because I felt I had an obligation to my employees to pay them, but I wasn't paying me, and 80% of my business is gone. There was no money coming in. So that's another one. You know, it's hard, but cut the cord. Let everybody go. Another thing that I recommend is, you know, after, you know, in 2009, when recession hit, I was much more stable, obviously, but I still lost a lot of business. Well, not lost it. They're still with me. It just contracted dramatically. I still have my first client from 1992. So we've had very good luck in keeping clients, but it's very difficult to stay on board when you've got huge credit card bills. So during the years of, you know, 2001 to 2008, I was able to rebuild my life. I never, in any of that time period, let my credit rating suffer. I had a high credit rating from the first job I've ever had. I have never let my credit rating go low. And because of that, I was able to get credit lines for my business, and I was able to get those 0% interest credit cards. I had a lot of them, and I had a little spreadsheet because I'd track how long it was good for. If it was 18 months, 2 years, a year, and so I either transferred or paid off within that 12 months or 18 months, and so that was my additional credit to keep me moving. I'm happy to say we have absolutely no credit card debt right now for Gossip Marketing, and I don't expect to ever have it again because I learned a lot of lessons during that. But one thing is to definitely, during your good years, when you think you don't need money, get that credit line, get that loan for capital improvement. Do those things, you know, because banks love to give you money when you don't need it, but then it's there when you do.
Good point. You know, you're about the third person who said that to me, not necessarily on the show, but a girlfriend of mine, we were talking about that, and she said, lesson learned from the recession for me, for my business, is get the money when you don't need it. So I think that's a really, really good point. You just said, I mean, you shared just a whole lot with us, and we thank you for that, because you talked about diversifying your portfolio. I can tell you, you talked about the travel industry. Well, in 2009, at the height of the recession, we had started in 2006, so we were 2 years young, and just really feeling confident, and we were out there, and we were making good money, and the recession hit, and 80% of our clientele were nonprofits, And so, of course, what happened, and we had nice contracts with several of them. Monthly retainers, it was going good. And suddenly we started getting those calls from CFOs. Hey, you know, we're going to have to cut back. We can only do something, you know, per diem or per, you know, a la carte services and things of that nature. Our budget's been chopped. I mean, we've lost, you know, we've gotten $6 million pulled out of our budget and so on and so forth. And so that also indicated to me time to diversify. And I know, so for those of you who watch The Profit, he talks about 9 profit centers for your business. So in your portfolio, you know, if you are going to, whatever you're doing, if you're selling widgets, you want to be selling widgets for the transportation industry, widgets for the hotel industry, widgets for, so you have 9 different centers. So if one sector goes down, like Danette just said, you are not, and like I just said, because I think we've both experienced it, you do not have to learn that lesson. Right? We're giving it to you for free.
There was a quote that I used to have on my wall that said, I can't make all mistakes myself, so I have to learn from other people's mistakes.
Yes.
So I think that's important. Another area that I think that people can use to help against potential downturns is during the economic downturn, this most recent time, I really worked on my arsenal of freelancers and resources. I actually have a great graphic company in New Zealand that I work with a lot now. They are able to turn things around in the middle of the night when when I'm asleep.
Yes.
And the next morning I've got what I need on my desk. My clients think I'm a hero and I can give it to them at a lesser price than it was costing me to do it domestically. I have IT people and copywriters, and I mean, I just have all types of people at my disposal now that I researched over the last several years, so I don't have those people on staff. I've cut my staff way back so that I just call on people when I need them.
Right.
And a lot of people in the digital age, they love that.
Yes.
They like having a big pie as well.
Yes.
To be working on.
Yes, absolutely. Freelancers, that's a really good point. Contractors, and we've talked about that in previous shows. One of the things I heard you say was let go and cut the cord sooner. And that's a hard pill to swallow or to spit out, whichever way. But I know that, particularly as women, you said this to me, you know, we're maternal. We want to take care of everybody. And I know that that's a challenge. But when the handwriting's on the wall, good business ensures that you make the hard and fast decisions to keep you solvent. Danette, there is someone listening who is still experiencing some significant contractions as a result of the recession. What are 3 tips you would give this business owner?
Well, first, I want them to think honestly, and is it really recession-driven?
Mm.
Or have they become complacent during the recession? I think a lot of us at one point in time were like, well, everybody's having this situation, so should I really push it? Well, everybody's moving out. And a lot of people have emerged out of the recession. People and companies are spending money again. So first, look at yourself and make sure, you know, have I stopped doing my networking that I need to be doing on a very regular basis? Have I actually gone back to my clients or prospects or whatever with some new ideas recently? Have I asked for referrals? Have I asked for testimonials from my existing clients? Have they told me from internal, you know, well, maybe it's a big company, maybe you work with 5 departments, maybe there are 20 that you're not working with. So have you talked to them? Have you gotten leads into those people? Have they given you other leads into other companies, other industries? So I really do believe that to get back out there is the biggest thing I can tell anyone right now is, you know, do you have your business development list and are you hitting it every single day? Are you sitting down making 8-10 calls a day and not taking no for an answer and getting appointments? During the recession, I literally was making sure I was making calls and trying to get at least 2 new business appointments a week. and I was trying to go to at least two new networking opportunities a week, and then following up with people. And I picked up a lot of new business over the last 4 years because of, you know, other people weren't calling on them.
The tenacity, which is one of the things that we've talked about. So getting out there, refreshing. Now, you said business development list. What is that? Tell our listeners, what is that business development list?
Well, those are the companies I want to go after. What is my ideal customer? You know, how much do they have a budget to spend? What do they want to do? I don't take everybody as a client. I can't afford to. Some people would love to work with me, but they have $500 to spend. I'm sorry. It costs me too much money to work with someone that has a $500 budget. I prefer someone with a $25,000 budget or a $500,000 budget. Those are ideal for me. Of course, I do work for smaller companies as well, but my ideal customers, I have a whole list of companies, and I go to a wide variety of sources to get my list. Of course, I look at the Greater Miami Chamber first. I'm a trustee of the chamber, so I know a lot of people. Right now, I'm the chair of their Good to Great Awards, so I have a lot of exposure there, so people know who I am. So I look at those businesses. Okay, who here might be able to use my services? I looked at my LinkedIn contacts. Who on there has, using that as a referral source, because a lot of the people on LinkedIn used to be clients of mine, and they have moved to other places. So where have they gone? Is there somewhere I should be talking to them about doing business with me? And then you can go on the internet and actually target. Okay, I want to be within 25 miles of Miami-Dade County. I'm looking for companies that have revenues of $10 million or more, that have, 100 plus employees, and you can get a whole list. And you can go through that list and say, okay, that's a prospect, that's a prospect, that's a prospect. So I have a whole working list that I go on when I'm sitting in my office and I have decided, okay, today is what I call dialing for dollars day.
I love it.
Dialing for dollars. Today we're dialing for dollars, and I sit down and I start picking up the phone and calling for appointments.
That is wonderful. So for those of you who don't have a business development list and you are perhaps feeling, things aren't moving the way that they should, you just heard it here on the JB Biz Live from Danette Gossett of Gossett Marketing, how to develop that list. She gave us very stringent strategies for us to utilize. LinkedIn, and we've talked about social media, and I'm always pushing social media because, let me tell you, you have such a great opportunity to reach and connect with people that you know, people that you don't know. And so definitely reaching out, developing that list. Who is your target customer? And we've talked about that when we talked about business diversification and expansion. We've talked about that in terms of our market segmentation. Danette, tell listeners how they can reach you.
Oh, well, you can reach us a couple of different ways, of course. We are on Twitter. It's Marketing Tidbits without the I in marketing. So you can find us at Marketing Tidbits. We have a blog, interestingmarketingtidbits.com. You can reach us at gossetmktg.com. And on my promotions resource, we have a new, which will help a lot of your listeners, is salespromotions.org. It's a new blog site. Actually, it's an authority site on sales promotions, helping you to learn how to turn your marketing dollars into real dollars for your business, because sales promotion is making things happen now.
Yes.
It's not something for the future. You're not building a brand necessarily. You're trying to impact sales today.
Yeah.
So you can reach us any of those ways, or you can call us. We're in Miami, 305-443-1332. And anybody that answers the phone can help you.
Wonderful.
Before we move on,
yes,
I wanted to go back to one other thing about building your business development list.
Sure.
And we talked a little bit about referrals, and having a referral from a one of your clients or even a prospect. They may not have done business with you, but they know you, they trust
yes.
you, they've you've interacted with them, maybe as a volunteer, ask them for a referral, and that's a warm referral. And sometimes you can say, I'd love to have their name and phone number or email address, but what I'd really love is if you could connect us.
Yes.
Send an email
yes.
to them and say, I think you two would connect, like Stephanie did for us.
Yes.
You know, I think you two could connect, and I think this would be a great opportunity. I'd really appreciate it if you'd talk to them, meet with them. And that's a warm contact,
yes.
and you can close those. I have a statistic on my wall. Most people stop contacting people within their third try.
Yes.
You know, they quit. They
yes.
just quit. Then you've got about 20% of the people that continue 3 to 5 or 6 times.
Yes.
Most sales, 80% of your sales, happen between 8 and 12 contacts.
Yes.
80% of your sales.
Yes.
If you quit after 2 or 3 or 4 phone calls,
you've missed out.
You've missed out on 80% of the business.
Really good statistic, and I'm happy that you shared that, because connections and networking is so critical, and you're right. We don't ask. We have not because we ask not. We don't ask people to connect us. I know that I, by virtue, I'm a connector. So I sometimes, you don't have to ask me, but if I see a potential connection or match, I'm the first one to say, you know, you need to be in touch with this one. But I will always ask folk, you know, who do I know? Who do I trust? Who do I love? Who do I know or that are connected to people that I possibly would want to be connected to? Hey, could you make some connections? Let me tell you what I'm looking for. And I think that's critical. It's interesting because when we talk to nonprofits and we do fund development and fundraising with nonprofits, you know, of course, the first thing they want to do is get out there and here's my sponsorship packet, or here's my donate here, donate there. And people look at them like they have 2 heads. And we always say, do you know that the rule of fundraising is that you should have a minimum of what we call 7 touches, similar to your 8 connections. So 7 touches before you ask for money. Your 8th touch is when you ask them to donate. So it's true. People want to feel as if they know you. They want to feel as if they've connected to you, like you said, the warm connection, a warm referral, because it's important. People do business with people who they know and trust. And so you've got to develop the relationship. So I think that's a real key strategy in terms of how you've stayed in business.
Absolutely.
For over 23 years. I think that's great. Now, I want to talk a little bit, because we get a lot of phone calls in the office, usually on Tuesday evenings between 5 and 6. The phone rings off the hook and on Wednesday mornings. And I would say that 90% of those folks that are calling us are women. And so what do you see? And a lot of them are either in business or really contemplating starting a business. They've done some research, you know, some market research. They may even have incorporated, but they haven't really set up shop, so to speak. And so what do you see as the benefits of entrepreneurship for women?
Well, I think it's the same as what I said earlier about what's the benefits of just being an entrepreneur. I think the flexibility is key for a lot of women, I think, and men. But for women particularly, I think it's really good, because we have a tendency to try and take care of everybody and everything. And having a little more flexibility is key. For a lot of people, they don't have to worry about trying to get a loved one to the doctors. When they have work for themselves, they can just say, you know, I've got to take this hour and do what I need to do.
Yeah.
The other thing for women, I've come across this more and more recently. And actually, I was just in Atlanta this past weekend, and my nephew is a professional trainer, and his wife had a baby. And he actually takes the baby with him to his training sessions. Now it's the possibility she's a school teacher and they don't have them in daycare. And I'm seeing that more and more, where you go into an office of an entrepreneur and they have a little nursery set up so that their child can be there with them. Yes, is it interrupting sometimes? Sure. But, you know, they have that flexibility. They can have them there. And as long as they get the job done, who cares?
Absolutely.
So I do think that is the biggest aspect. And you get to be creative and have integrity when you're having your own business. And a lot of women, you know, like that. They want that.
Yes. Flexibility and childcare are often the leading factors for entrepreneurship, the reason women go into business. Or it's oftentimes, you know, I have a child that I have to take care of. I can't manage with my job. And so it's really the main factor. So I'm happy that you said that, because I totally agree. As a working mom, I agree with you. I was thinking this morning, ironically, I don't even know why, but my six-year-old, having her in the office on my lap nursing while I am typing, while I'm in conference calls, and I'm thinking, if these folks saw me now, thank God, you know, it wasn't a video conference call, and as soon as she, if she got fussy, I would just stick that boob back in her mouth, and I'm just being really honest with you, and keep on going. And no one ever knew that she was there until she turned about 9 months old and started pulling the cords out of the computer, but that's a whole nother story. By the same token, on the flip side of that, what do you see as some of the challenges of entrepreneurship for women?
Women, by nature, don't like debt, I don't think. I've talked to many women. As you know, I'm a WeBank Women Business Enterprise National Council certified woman-owned business. And so I've been to a lot of conferences, and I think 9 times out of 10, their biggest hang-up is money. They're afraid to borrow money. They're afraid that they're not going to be able to pay it back, or it's going to ruin their credit or what have you. But if you have your plan in place and you've got everything moving in the right direction, now's the time. You can't grow without borrowing money. I've had large lines of credits and small lines of credit, and I've done capital improvement loans and such for my business almost from day one. And during the years it was good, I increased them. Sometimes they got cut back during the recession. You know, my bank came to me and said, Danette, we need to bring your, they didn't take it away, they just cut it back a little bit. But then, you know, 2 years ago, they increased it back again. So, but I had that in place. And I think that's the biggest obstacle that women need to overcome, is that it's okay to have the proper debt for your business. Because if you have a line of credit, if you are afraid to go into it, but if you're having, you know, you need something and your client hasn't paid you yet, you have a gap. And what are you going to do with that?
Right.
So that is, to me, the biggest obstacle women face.
And I think that's a really good point. You know, we don't seem to mind taking out the Macy's card to buy shoes or a new purse, but oftentimes when we start talking about investments and we start talking about loans and credit lines, I see the deer in headlights look. And, you know, I think from now on I'm going to start saying, could you just let me see what credit cards do you have? Because I'm sure there'll be a Macy's, there'll be a Lord, is there a Lord and Taylor? I don't even know. You know? But a Macy's or whatever other card, but we get so concerned with regards to that. So I think that's a really, really good point. You all know that every week, just about, I play this song because to me it is the entrepreneurship anthem. And so I want to remind everybody to go ahead and do it, and do it now. Set Up Shop by Damian Marley. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it is time for you to set up shop. Get it going, get it done. Start that business and start it now. Just do it. Play like Nike and set up shop. You are listening to the JB Bizline on WBIG Station. We welcome any of your calls on staying the course, persevering, entrepreneurship, staying the course, staying in business for the long haul. We are here with Danette Gossett of Gossett Marketing, and she has been in business for over 23 years. And we've just been talking about some strategies that are necessary for you to stay the course. So, Danette, before we move on, give our listeners the phone and website for your business again.
Okay. For Gossett Marketing, you can reach us at 3 in Miami, of course, 305-443-1332. It's 305-443-1332. You can also check us out on interestingmarketingtidbits.com or Gossett, GOSSETTMKTG.com, and of course our newest adventure, salespromotions.org.
All right. So we know how to get a hold of Danette, who has been in business. She is just sharing with us some key strategies to ensuring that we start, grow, and maintain our business for a long period of time. So Danette, as we wind down our program for today, let me ask you, what has kept you in business for over 23 years, and how can our listeners replicate that?
My biggest one, and I'm in a group called the Commonwealth Institute, TCI, and I'm in a CEO forum, and they laugh at me every week. Actually, they don't laugh. They embrace me because they have taken this into account for themselves. I have my PhD, which is pig-headed discipline. And it's a Tony Robbins-ism.
Yes.
And it really is true. I have been pig-headed about the discipline of having my business from day one. I started out in my garage in my business, and I was at my desk before 9 o'clock every single day.
Yes.
I ate my lunch at my desk. I didn't have laundry going. I didn't do errands. I didn't run chores in my house. I worked on my business every single day, 8:30 to 6, from day one. A lot of people fall into the habits of taking, I don't have a meeting today, or I don't have this today, and they don't get dressed. They say, well, maybe I'll put in this load of laundry, maybe I'll pay a few bills, and that's where you get sidetracked. You have to stay focused on your business during business hours and after until you really get the job moving forward constantly. And I still have the big head discipline. I plan my day on paper every single day. Not necessarily by hours, even though I do have hours on there, but I put down everything that I'm supposed to get done that day. And then I have below that other tasks that I'd like to get done if I have time.
Yes.
So it makes a big difference for me. I also have tried to stay true to my principles of respect and integrity. Our clients know that when I tell them something, it is the honest truth, and that it's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
We do not tell our clients we can get something to them and then not deliver. They know from day one. I have always been very big on that. My employees are, my whole team is, we work with our clients because we think of them as our friends, as our partners. We're a part of their business. It's not, we're a vendor. So if we don't deliver on time, we take it personally.
Yes.
That we haven't delivered on time. And I hate that. I don't want it to be that way. So that's why I think most of our clients have been with us over 10 years, is because they recognize that we take it to heart. Our whole business is by the heart. I also have, you mentioned when we were in the break there, my positive and energy. I'm a consummate optimist. And I get up every day. I don't have an alarm. I wake up. I do have an alarm. I have a couple of dogs. They usually get me up. But I'm usually up between 5:30 and 6 in the morning every single day. I just wake up. And I don't drink caffeine ever. I'm caffeine free. So when I get up in the morning, this is me. And it's the way I learned long ago, you can wake up happy or you can wake up depressed.
Right.
And I want to greet the day every day happy. And so no matter what's been going on in my life, with my clients, anybody, no one knows except me.
Right.
It's really a bad day. I mean, okay, every now and then I'm a little down. But most people know that I am always very positive, and I always take things with a very upbeat perspective, because perception is reality.
Yes.
If you're walking around talking all the negatives about your business, then that's what you're attracting to you, is all the negatives.
Yes.
So I'm constantly talking about how great we're doing, how great my team is, how great my clients are, and we've been around 23 years. So I think that that's a good part of it. And I've stayed active in the community. In good years and bad, I've been volunteering for chambers of commerce, for various organizations. I've been a mentor for the University of Miami School of Business. I've counseled and worked with a lot of women business owners to help them in their development of their businesses. I've taught some seminars and classes on that. I've volunteered my time for organizations, cancer and such, that I feel strongly about. And so it's helped me to become known in the community. And you said it before, people not like to do business with people they know and trust. And what better way to learn about someone then you're volunteering with them in an organization. You learn what they're about, and you can begin to trust them because you're like, wow, if they're here spending their Saturday picking up trash or painting a building or what have you, wow, you know, I might want to do business with this person. So I've been involved literally from day one. I joined the Chamber of Commerce, Coral Gables Chamber of Commerce, I think within 3 months of me starting my business. So
wow. So Jeanette just shared with us what's kept her in business for over 23 years and things that you can replicate: integrity and respect, visibility, staying visible in the community, optimism. As Pharrell says, she's happy. And I can't believe I just did that on radio because I don't sing at all. But she is optimistic all the time. And she talked about something that I think we talk about almost on every show, corporate social responsibility or giving back your time. Now, the only thing that I have a problem with in all of that is that this woman does not drink caffeine and she is so happy because, you know, I wake up happy every morning, but the coffee makes me happier. So kudos to you, Jeanette. I take my hat off. Now, last question of the day, and we are so appreciative of you being here. Tell us, what are the greatest business lessons you've learned over the past 23 years?
Well, the first I think would be know your finances. I know you had the financial guru on last week, but understanding your finances is key. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've had a client call me and say, can you match this price from someone else? And I'll look at him like, no, I'm sorry, I can't match it. Oh, come on, Jeanette, you know, can't you match it? You know, we really want to work with you. I'm like, no, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Because I know what my bottom line is. I know where I can cut or not and that type of thing. And inevitably, a year later, they'll call me back and go, Jeanette, do you remember such and such, you know? And I'll say, yeah, I happen to remember that. And they go, we'd really like to work with you this time, you know? And I'm like, well, why don't you go back to the other company that did it for you last year? Well, they're out of business. So understand your profit and loss statement. Understand what your true, you know, a lot of people think, oh, wow, it's I got paid $100. So I made $100. No, you didn't. You didn't make $100 because you've got the phone to pay for and you've got the electricity to pay for. You've got your rent to pay for. You've got all these expenses. Even if it's just your time that you're selling, there are still a lot of expenses. So people really need to understand what their finances are all about because otherwise they're not going to make it. I've just seen it way too many times. We talked about this previously. In my mind, hire slow, fire fast. It's key to the success of any business. If you realize you've made a mistake, and I've only done that once where, you know, you have a 90-day, you know, no fault
probationary
period, and I let them go in 60 days. I realized I'd made a big mistake. I tried to overlook my gut. Another thing, don't do. If your gut's telling you it's wrong, it's probably wrong. So I really do believe that is another area that you need to stay cognizant of. Set client expectations. I said we always deliver to our clients when we say we're going to. And yes, there are acts of God that you have no control over. We had a shipment coming in from China one time, and there was, you know, a typhoon, and it didn't sail on time. I can't do anything about that. It was out of my control. And sometimes the computer systems fail, and it's out of your control. It may not necessarily be an act of God, or maybe it is. And yeah, but at least you know your computers die. Okay, you know, but you pick up the phone, you call the client. I'm so sorry. Everybody understands those glitches. I'll have it to you tomorrow morning, or what have you. But if you set client expectations and meet them, that is very key. And then have fun. I mean, if you're not doing something that you're passionate about in your heart and that you really enjoy doing, then don't be an entrepreneur. If you're just in it to try and make a lot of money, but you don't have any joy in it, it's probably not going to succeed because you have to feel passionate about it. You really do. I mean, I'm still passionate after 23 years in business. I love creating custom-designed programs for people. That's my passion. I love doing it because I just feel like I'm helping somebody, and I get a charge out of coming up with a new idea. So if they can know their finances, hire slow, fire fast, set their client expectations, and have fun with it, they can succeed.
Wow. So listening to the very young woman who has been in business successfully for 23 years, sharing four major lessons. How to stay in business, persevere for the long haul, know your finances, understand that profit and loss statement. Hire slow, fire fast. And we talked about that one a couple weeks ago because we were talking about some trends in terms of small businesses. Manage expectations. I think, you know, Danette said you have to manage your clients' expectations. You have to manage your clients' expectations. I think you also have to manage your staff and your team's expectations as well. And I wrote down joy. She said have fun. But I'm going to tell you guys, the last week and a half, 2 weeks, the Lord has just been speaking to me about joy. Everywhere I turned, there was something about joy. Have fun. You know, and so I did ask last year. I said, Lord, I want to have some fun. And so perhaps that's what's in my path. I am having fun, but I wanted to have some more fun. So have fun with what you're doing. Experience the joy of your business. You have been tuned in to the JB Bizline on the W Big Station 95.9. And with us today has been Danette Gossett of Gossett Marketing. And we've talked about entrepreneurship. We've talked about staying the course. We've talked about life lessons. We've talked about knowing your finances. We've talked about so many wonderful things to help you to grow your business or to start your business. Most importantly, when you start, we want you to continue. We want you to grow and expand. Experience the diversification, experience expansion. And so thank you so much for tuning in to the JB Bizline. And I just want to say a quick, as we wind down today, I want to say hello, Twitter, at JiffD, saying hello to you, Laverne, at Celebrity Soccer Fest. Hello, Bungie. Hello, everybody. To my favorite, yeah, my most favorite, because I have lots of favorite Twitter followers and friends, but I have to say this is my most favorite, and that is at Rastafari JB, and he knows why he's my favorite, right? Okay, I live with him, so I bet he'd better be my favorite, and he's my absolute favorite. So hello, John, how are you? At ROI says, no, my friend's over in Ireland. How are you today? We just want to say a special shout out. Special hello to our friends Stephanie, who connected Danette and myself, Karen, Surya, Mimosa Girls, Brother Luke at Moment to Remember Photography, Damn Good over there in Jamaica. I'm still waiting for my brownies, Damn Good. I am still waiting for those Damn Good brownies. Denise over at the Pharmacy Training Institute, Ghazi, our friend over at Subway. And don't forget, ladies, we have a special invitation for you where you can spread your wings and fly away. Ladies, we want you to take a break from the norm and join us for a night of inspiration, empowerment, networking, connecting, entertainment, and good, clean fun. Hosted by our friend, the Authentic Self Coach, Karen Bryce, and our guest speaker is Stephanie Stanford, the person that we've been talking about. And so she will be speaking, we're all clapping here, and it will be this Saturday, April the 26th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Blue Bar and Bistro, which is at 113 South 20th Avenue in Hollywood. Don't forget to register at womeninspiringwomentogreatness.com or call Karen for more information at 954-305-9933. Don't forget to tell her that you heard it here on the JB Bizline. We want to say thank you to friends and family who's been listening, to those of you who've been tweeting and retweeting at us. We just appreciate it. We have been just blessed to be here on the JB, that's a Just Blessed Bizline. And remember to tune in every Tuesday from 4 to 5 to join us as you start your evening drive. It is our business to help your business. And don't forget to visit us online at axumhq.com, which is axumhq.com. Or I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 954-742-9166, and you can certainly reach us via email at info@axumhq.com. So yes, it is time for me to go, and we want to thank you for another wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time on the JB Biz Line. And this is Andrea John Baptiste saying, have a great week, and we will see you again. Don't forget, call on Jehovah.